Praise God. Well, I'm very excited this morning because today we're starting our 1 month to live series, which is we're going to have an awesome time together. I encourage you, don't miss a Sunday over the next 6 weeks. Don't miss a home group over the next 6 weeks. This is going to be a profound, life-changing thing. Now, like anything else that you do, you will only get out of this what you put into it. If you don't do anything else with it, you're just going to rock up on a Sunday, you're not going to get a hold of the book, you're not going to read your chapter a day, you're not going to put anything into it, well, you're going to get limited what you get out of it. You'll get an enormous amount out. This will change your life if you put in. If you're lazy and don't put in, then you won't get so much out of it. But if you have a heart to be everything that God has made you to be, that's our catch cry as a church, then I exhort you not to miss a Sunday, not to miss a home group over these 6 weeks. Sow yourself in. Read a chapter of the book that you'll get at home group, just a few pages every day. A little journal, you can just journal what God is doing in your life. It'll profoundly change your life. And every one of us wants to have a changed life. Amen? Amen. And people, home group leaders, if you know people that aren't here today, because there's some people that are missing today, home group leader, make sure you look around right now. Note, anyone who's not here in your home group, ring them today, please. Home group leaders, ring them today and encourage them and say, look, it started already. You've already missed the beginning. You can hear it online. Go on the internet, listen to the sermon, but make sure you're there Tuesday night, home group leaders. I don't want anyone to miss out on this. It's like you're getting $1 million given to you do I really want $1 million? I think most of you would. We're talking about living the dash. You just have a look at this tombstone picture that'll come up here. Now, this is a typical headstone. Maybe not so typical. Maybe not all as elaborate as this one. That's from Mel Blanc. Do you all remember Mel Blanc? He was the voice of Bugs Bunny. Maybe that's all folks, you know, Porky Pig and all of them. Mel Blanc was the one who did the voices. And you'll notice here on his tombstone there, there's the date of the beginning, 1908, and there's a finishing date where he passed away, 1989. This one says, that's all folks, that was the end of his life, on this earth at least. And there's a little dash there in the middle. We're really talking about that little dash on the headstones, about living the dash. Because in your life, there's many things that in your life you cannot control. You cannot control when you were born. You've got no say in that. Whether little Caleb was going to be born at 11:55 or when, he had no say in that at all. You didn't have a say when you got born. You didn't have a say in who your parents were. You had no say in what country you were born, what culture you were born in. You didn't have a say in any of those things. You don't have a control on that. You don't even have control on the date that's going to be at the end of that last little date. We don't have a control of those things. There's many things that we don't control in our life. But the thing that we can do is this little dash in the middle, that little dash right there in the middle, you actually have control of what are you going to do with your little dash. Because one day you will have a tombstone and people will come and they'll go there and they'll look at the cemetery and they'll have a look there and they'll go, gee whiz, I wonder what his life was like. I wonder how he lived his dash. We've only got one dash and we want to make the most of that. And many people, they spend their whole life rather than living that dash in the plans and purposes of God, being everything that God made them to live. They live their whole life just dashing to live. They run away from one thing to another thing, doing a whole lot of things, a lot of busy activities that at the end of the day, when all is said and done, really aren't going to matter all that much. When all is said and done, what is left? And what we are looking at is that what we're asking ourselves the question, and we want everyone to ask this question every day over the next 30 days, is to ask ourselves as we go through this program together, is what if I found out I only had 1 month to live? Each day, Lord, if I only had 1 month to live, how would I live this life? How would I live this day? Because every day that you live, they all add up to your dash. We have a choice how we're going to live our dash. You need to think about Jesus for a moment. Jesus was on the earth and he was 33 when he was actually crucified and died upon the cross. But he lived. There was a point when Jesus knew. He knew when his time was coming. He had a sense of the time. He knew the time. Jesus came to the point where he knew that he only had 30 more days left. Jesus knew that. He knew it was coming, that now I've ended this period. I am now in the last 30 days of my life. But Jesus knew that. The Father revealed that to him. He knew what was going to happen. We don't actually know that when our last 30 days is. My prayer is that we're going to have many more days. But if we live every day as if we're in that last 30 days, our lives will be so much different and so much richer. We're going to look over this time, over the 6 weeks, there's four principles that we see from Jesus' life. when Jesus had his last 30 days to live, how did Jesus live his last 30 days? What did Jesus do, knowing full well that he only had 30 days left on this earth? Now, he knew who he was in eternity, but upon this earth, 30 days. And so we're going to look at those four principles. We're going to introduce those four principles this morning, and then we're going to spend a week just hitting each one of those in so that we fully understand those principles that Jesus had and lived in those last 30 days of his life upon this earth as he walked among us as flesh. So scripture in John 10, verse 10, and I just want to read that. John 10, 10, it's from the message, and it's up there on the screen. It says, I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they've ever dreamed of. More and better life than they've ever dreamed of. That's John 10, 10. I trust you got notes. If you've got your notes, you're going to have to fill in blanks today. So if you're in the habit of just taking home, you need to get a hold of that. You need to get a pen because there's blanks on the notes today. If you take it home, you won't have the blanks filled in. So I suggest you grab a hold of that. You would have got it when you came in the door. If anybody doesn't have a set of the notes, just put your hands up. The stewards will give you one. Leave it up if you didn't get one when you came in. But there are blanks in the notes. So just put them up. Stewards, if you can just give those ones with a hand up. Just note, stewards, please. Yep, thank you. If you can just give those with hands up, just give them a set of those notes as they go through. Jesus said in John 10:10, I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than that they've dreamed of. That's why Jesus came. He came to give us a life, far better life than anyone else who doesn't know Christ. We have everything found in Christ, a better life in Jesus Christ. And you might want to underline that word better life. Because even if your life, well, my life's pretty good at the moment, when our life is in Christ, it is actually a better life. If you're struggling in your life, if you're living your dash just the way God wanted you to live your life, then you would be having a lot better life. And so it just encourages us. We want to be everything that he has made us to be. That's part of our theme, is to grow as a church, part of our motto. And so we want to live our life like Jesus lived his days. There's another scripture in 1 John 5, 11 to 12, it says, and this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life. Tula made a decision today that has guaranteed her salvation in eternity. Her dash is not going to stop on the end. She gave her life to Christ. She knew about God. She believed in God. But she found Jesus, gave her life to Christ. And so she knows now that she has eternal life in Jesus Christ. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. You either have the Son and you have life. You don't have the Son, you don't have life. How many of you seen Deal or No Deal on TV? You seen that? Andrew O'Keefe, the host of Deal or No Deal. And basically that's what this really is. It's either a deal or no deal. That you accept Christ, deal. Sound, sealed, delivered in eternity, or no deal. And a bit of trouble when you're over on that side. It's a deal or it's a no deal. And God wants us to really live, not just exist. It saddens me when I even see Christians who just exist. Just going through the motions of life. What a tragedy that is. Because we're put on this earth for a purpose. And I trust that over this next 6 weeks, you're going to live your life so much differently. Saddest thing is when you hear people looking forward to retirement. Man, what a tragedy that is. Whole life is geared to that. Life is so much more than not working. It's actually being everything that God has made us to be. But see, we want to really live in Christ. It's a full life, an abundant life that Christ has for it. And that's what we want. And if we're going to do that, we're going to have to live passionately. You can write that in the heading there. Jesus lived passionately. He had 30 days. He wasn't going to sit around in a banana lounge for 30 days. He lived his life passionately. So you can write that in your notes. Put that in there. Jesus lived passionately. That was one of the four principles that we're going to be looking at over this time, is that Jesus lived passionately. And that's the kind of people that God wants us to live. See, in Deal or No Deal, if you see that, they always have a little banker. You know, they open the briefcases and whatever else. And then the bank always makes an offer. A little offer comes up there. And you've got the choice. You're going to keep going, you're going to make, settle for the offer, or go for all that is there possibly for you. And Satan comes along, and he actually comes along, and he's offering you little offers all of the time. little offers to settle for second best, to settle for least, at least of what God would have for you. His offer actually is a miserable life. That's what Satan offers, is a miserable life. And some people actually settle for that. And some people will make that decision. We sang a song today that said, today, I'm living for today, and I honor you, Tula. But she said, no, not tomorrow, today. And we sang that, today I'm living for your purpose. And it's so important to passionate people who live passionately live today. And see, you find if you look in the scripture, one of God's favorite word is today. Today is the day of salvation. Tula found that out for herself today. Today is the day of salvation. Satan's favorite word is someday. Someday. And if you think that you're thinking of not Sunday, but someday, then you're not going to be living your dash. You're actually going to be falling into compromise. If you live in the realm of someday. Someday, you know, I'll make peace with my family. Someday, I'll actually give my heart to Christ. And Satan will probably won't say, I'd never do that. He'll say, yeah, do that. That's all right. But don't do it now. Someday. And, maybe I really should forgive that person. Yeah, maybe you should, but just do it someday. We're living in the some days. We're actually living in Satan's purposes. You're not living today. We're living passionately. We live today. We live inside that dash of today, not just someday. Someday I'm going to be a really committed Christian. Someday I'm going to pray. Someday I'm going to really start reading my Bible. Someday I'm really going to get serious about God. Someday I'll really start worshiping. It's the language of the devil, is the someday. God is today. He's the God of now, the appointed time. God is the God of today. Today it is so important that we live in that. Don't live in that. And so someday when all your problems are, when I'm not so busy at work, then that's his language. We live in today. Jesus lived passionately, and we've got to live passionately in today. Life goes so very, very quickly. I want to show you this little clip. I've cut down an advert. The advert actually never got to show, and I've cut out a few little bits. There's a couple of reasons why I believe it wasn't shown, but I'll show you just a little section of this clip. This goes for a few seconds. You need to watch it. But it shows us, illustrates us how quickly our life goes. Hang on, Josh, that's the wrong thing. That's not it. Is that the wrong one? Sorry, I've given you that's the full version, which I don't want to show you. Maybe that's my fault. I probably put the wrong clip on there. Clip goes very fast. I don't want to show you that at some point. You actually see this baby getting born, and I'll explain the clip to you rather than show it to you. But as I cut quite a lot out of that clip, I've obviously given Joshua the wrong one. That's my fault. But anyway, I wasn't going to even go into this part of the clip, but anyway, the lady gives birth to the baby, pushes so hard it goes shooting out, flying out through the window, and then the baby's shooting out through the air. A little baby there, and it's getting, and as it's going, it's growing. It's growing, growing, comes to a young boy, sort of wakes up, what's going on? Young boy, as he's flying through the air, suddenly he becomes a man. No, I won't, because I'm not showing that. I'll just show, there's a couple of reasons why I'm not. You can look at it at home and you realize why. And it's showing, and then it gets older and older and older, and suddenly becomes an old man, and then he finally shoots down and crashes, he lands in his grave. And really life is just like that. You're born one minute. One minute you're born and as you're a kid. It's funny, like, when you're a kid, like if you ask a child, how old are you? Oh, I'm 4 and a half. I'm 5 and a half. There's always and the half, isn't there? When you ask a little child, how old are you? And a half. If you ask someone, how old are you? Oh, yeah, I'm 45 and a half. They don't say it, do they? When you're a little kid, you always want to be the half makes a big difference when you're 4 or 5. 4 and a half, 5 and a half. When they get a little bit older, when how old are you? Oh, I'm 12. Well, they're not really. They're actually maybe 11, but they'll be 12 in another 18 months. So they're nearly 12, and they always want to be a little bit older. And as you go there, and then as you go through life, they just want to be a teenager. Want to be 21. Can't wait to be 21. Whoa, I'm 21. And so on it goes through. But when you get into your 30s and your 40s and then 50s and 60s and then 70s, and it's just an acceleration of life. Life does accelerate. As I get a little bit older all the time, I think, man, if I think now, if I've lived half my life, man, I can't even remember that half much. Some of it I remember. It just goes so fast. It gets faster and faster and faster. You get your 70s, you get your 80s, get into your 90s. And you no longer, it actually becomes a day. I just go through Wednesday, I go through Thursday, Friday, get a little bit, oh, I'll get to lunchtime. And lunchtime is the big thing. Oh, we had lunch. Now I wonder what's for dinner. And everything becomes like that. And if you get to 100, you become like a little child again. I'm 100. You tell everybody that you're 100, like the little one, I'm 4 now, I'm big. And you get to 100. And life goes through so fast. We start off, we're born, and then it just goes forward right to the very end. And it goes so very quickly. So how are you living your life? How are you actually living that dash? Some people just spend their time waiting to live. They're just, life's on hold for the moment. It's on hold because I'm waiting for the kids to grow up. I'm waiting for this situation to be solved. I'm waiting for finances to come. I'm waiting for this to happen. I'm waiting to retire. I'm waiting to do this. And they're just waiting for something to happen. And some people live their whole life waiting for something. And it never happens, and they miss out on the life that they've been made for. But it doesn't matter how old you are, God can start that now. You can have a revelation of everything that God wants you to be. There's a scripture in Luke 7, 31 and 32. It says, to what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? Excuse me, they're like children sitting in the marketplace calling out to each other. We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not cry. It's like the Lord has given us the music of life and He's orchestrated some wonderful things in our life and it's all there, but we don't dance. We don't participate in what the Lord has for us. And a lot of people spend a lot of their time avoiding risk in their life. They want to have the safest life they can have and the most comfortable life they have. And so the whole life is to minimize risk and to avoid any kind of risk. But if you live your whole life trying to be safe, trying to be comfortable, avoiding every little risk possibly, you're not going to have a full and an abundant life. One of the biggest risks in life is trying to avoid risk at all costs, because you'll never step out in relationships. You'll never step out and grow and be what God wants you to be. Never take steps of faith if you're always trying to avoid risk in every area of your life. And so many people, they really overestimate the power of yesterday and the power of tomorrow. Some people live in yesterday. Some people live so much regrets as they look back over the years gone by, over things that have happened, and they live in tomorrow, in what happened yesterday. So many people live in yesterday. And if you're living in yesterday, you're not going to live in the today that God has for you. Some people always, as I said, looking in tomorrow, it's the someday. Well, if you're living in either yesterday or just living and waiting and hoping for tomorrow, you're going to miss it. And you come to the end there and they're just about to put the mark on your headstone. And what happened to your life? We haven't lived our life to the fullest. So we need to learn to live passionately. We're going to be looking at that in a lot more detail. Great risk is never taking risk. The other risk that we have is not to love in our lives. So the second thing we want to put in there, and you can write it in, is that Jesus, in his last 30 days, so in the four areas, that Jesus loved completely. Jesus loved completely. Completely. You can put that in. Jesus loved completely. What did he do when he knew he needed 30 days left to live? He loved completely. It says in John 13, verse 1, it says, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. He knew that his time had come to leave the world and to go to the Father. So he knew, okay, time's up. And so he now showed them the full extent of his love. And I'm sure if that was you, if you really knew 100% for sure that you only had 30 days to live, 30 days left upon this earth, then you would dedicate yourself to showing love to people. That all the people that maybe that you've just harbored something and you've never really forgiven them. Maybe there's some people that there's some things that you know that you really need to say those things. Well, you would say those things. You would forgive people that needed to be given. You would say the things that would need to be said. And maybe there's people here today that there's things that people you know you need to forgive. And you know that there's things that maybe you need to say. And if you knew for sure you had the last 30 days of your life, you would go out of your way. You'd do whatever it took to restore relationship, because relationship would become so important to you. The ones to love God with all of your heart and to love those people that God has placed in your life, it would come straight, number one priority, it would go right to the top of your life if you knew that. And that's why God has put you on this earth, is that we would love. And if we really want to live in this life, then we've got to love. If you're not living, not loving, then you're not really living. We need to love in this life. We were made to love. And this whole area comes into so much focus. You've got 1 month to live. You immediately think, well, what is important? Who is important to me? What are the relationships that I need to put right in our lives? And so we need to have that right. Another scripture, Matthew 22, 37 to 39. It really summarizes the heart of what it is to live that life of love. And Jesus replied, summarizing everything in the Bible, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. First thing, to love God first. You knew you were going home in a month's time. You want to make sure your relationship is right with God. Now you know you're saved. If you come to Christ, you surrendered your heart to Christ, you've repented, you've turned away from your old life, and with all sincerity you've given your life to Christ, you become a believer, you become a disciple, then you know that promise is there for you. But you want to be intentional about your relationship with God. Oh, I'm too tired to pray today, I'm too busy to pray. Man, you'd be praying every day. You'd be reading your Bible every day. You'd be filling yourselves with the things of God because you knew you only had 1 month to live. And that's the heart that we need to. We need to put God first. Because at the end of the day, when we die, how much money you've got, doesn't make mean a thing at all. Who cares how much money you got? When you're dead, you're not going to be really counting the money because it's not there. It doesn't matter what achievements, what awards, what goals, what dreams, whatever they were, at the end of the day, those things don't matter much. The question is how well you loved. How well did you love? Another scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love never fails. Love never fails. If you love completely, then you won't fail. If you are completely loving, then you won't fail. Love never fails. If your love in circumstances and situations for people is a pure love, and that your heart is open, and you're just loving, giving the love of God in there, then you will not fail. Scripture says, love never fails. But love is always an action and a choice. Always a choice to love. It's not all fluffy-duffy, you know, I feel all warm and fuzzy. Love is a choice. I will love. I will love. And it's also an action. You can't love without action. We've been talking about that. We express that. Love is an action. And so one of the things, as I said, who do you need to tell today? Who do you need to say? Tell someone you love them. Who do you need to tell today? Not someday, not another day. Who do you need to tell today, I love you? Who is it? Is it one of your kids? Is it your parents? Is it a brother or a sister? Who is it that you need to tell them today? Because you might have more than 30 days, but they might not. We don't know. So tell them that you love them. And it's amazing to me is that when Jesus, as we read in that passage in John 13, Jesus knew he's only got 30 days left to live. And it says that his time was short, and having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. What did he do to show them how much he loved them? We did something very, very simple. He went to the disciples and he kneeled at his feet, says he took off his outer garment. So he knelt down in his undergarment. Doesn't want to get his outer garment all wet, obviously. Gets a towel, gets down, kneels at their feet and starts washing the disciples' feet. Very simple thing, but a very powerful way of practically demonstrating his love. And that's what we need to do. We need to show that love. The little things that we can do can make such a huge difference. So let's put on this other clip. Trust I've got this right. Apologize to you, Joshua, before. But this is just something simple that this man did. And the simple acts can show so much love. So let's watch this.
When Pastor Gary gave the challenge of the 1 month to live, I decided to take a moment and think of the things that I do now and the things that I would like to do different. You know, I'm gonna go surprise my son at school for lunch. So stopped, picked up a couple of Happy Meals. He had no idea I was coming. And for a dad to do this for an 8-year-old son, I was thinking, this is gonna be fun. This is gonna be something that get a kick out of. And so I go into the lunchroom. I checked in the front office, go into the lunchroom, and as I rounded the corner, he had his back to me where he couldn't see me, and his friends were kind of looking and pointing. Well, he turned around and his face just lit up. I mean, it's a vision that I'll never forget. I mean, it just the the sight of his face, I mean, is implanted in my heart and my brain forever. When he lined up with his class to go back to his room, I decided, you know, I'm gonna walk back to the room with him just to say goodbye and everything. Usually, when I drop him off or walk him in the class, he's like, "Oh, there's Dad. See you later, Dad." But this was different. We started walking down the hallway, and I'm just walking along, and he reaches over and grabs my hand, and it's a feeling that you can't really. It's hard to put into words without getting emotional. For someone like me to have him just reach and grab my hand and walk with me all the way to class holding hands together, it was an experience that I'll cherish for the rest of my life. The 1 month to live challenge has also has strengthened my relationship with my wife. Coming home from work or whatever it may be, we've always greeted each other with a kiss and a hello and how was your day and something simple, more of a small talk. But now we take the time to listen to each other and to focus on what the other person needs and what is important to them. And as far as something simple as just walking around the block, just her and I, my mother and father were divorced when I was really young. And I blamed him for not being a dad and not having a relationship. I see him every day at work, but we just don't have a father-son type relationship. But, you know, after Pastor Carey's challenge, I decided, you know, it's not, I'm waiting on him to be a dad, but I'm also not being a son. It's given me no regrets because I don't have to sit and blame. I don't have to point fingers anymore. I've taken the steps to be a son, which has helped him be a better father. And our relationships, our relationship between each other has just, it's grown. We go to lunch together now. We laugh, we talk on the telephone outside of work. And we never did that in the past for so many years. And I realize how much I missed that. The 1 month to live challenge by Pastor Carey, it helped me to take the initiative instead of waiting, because you don't know how much time you have, so why sit and wait? I wanted to focus on how I treat others and do it immediately, because what I'm leaving behind is my legacy. And if I don't work on that, then who's going to work on it?
Very, very powerful testimony, isn't it? And if you had 30 days to left, if you were estranged from your mother or your father, your sister, your brother, anyone, you wouldn't be waiting around. You'd get in there today and you'd do something about it. So Jesus, he lived passionately and he loved completely. That's two of the challenges that we have over this time as we look. The third thing is that Jesus, he learned humbly. He learned humbly in his life. There's a scripture in Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8. So you can put humbly in there. Jesus learned humbly. Jesus learned humbly. Philippians 2, 5 to 8, it says, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider God, equality with God something to be grasped. But he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." And so he humbled himself. Jesus humbled himself. It tells us in Hebrews 5:8, you can write it down on your notes, just write down Hebrews 5:8. Talks about how Jesus, as he learned obedience through what he suffered. And so Christ, he walked in humility. And if anything, part of us growing as believers is that we want to be as Christ. And the scripture tells us, it says, your attitude should be the same as that as Christ Jesus. Because at the end of the day, God is concerned with our character. Because when that final date is whacked on your tombstone, and when all is said and done, it's your character. I've said this many, many times, but it's your character is the thing that you take to heaven. And our character isn't so important to have the character, because whatever else you accumulate, it's what you did in the dash, it's who you are, that is what you're taking with you to heaven. There's a couple of ways that we can build our character. One of the most important ways is through reading the Word of God and applying that. I don't know how many people are you doing that. We've given you all the tools and resources that every day you can be reading a chapter of the Bible as you go through. Certainly, if you're not doing that, start doing that. You'll be encouraged to do that. There's Bible references that are part of this 30 days that we're looking at as we're working through. Do that, because that helps shape and mold your character. The Word of God is the mirror. You read the Word of God and you look at your life and you can say, "Oh Lord, I need to adjust this in my life." so important to be looking in the mirror of God's Word and allowing His Word to shape us. It's one of the most important things that shapes character. The second most important thing that will shape your character is problems. Problems in your life. Hands up if you've ever had a problem. If you haven't got your hand out, your problem is you're paralyzed and you can't put your arms up. We have all had problems. In fact, right now, I would think every one of us has problems. And if I ask your hands up again, who doesn't have a problem? The problem is you're living not in reality. We all have problems. Every one of us face many challenges in our lives. But God will use every problem that we have, and He will use that problem. It doesn't matter who caused it or created it. You got it. It's there. But He still will use that problem to shape and mold your character. And so every problem we have is an opportunity for us to come out of that to be more like Christ. The sad thing is that when people face problems, however, they run away, they become bitter, they hold on to things, they become cynical or whatever else, and they haven't allowed God to work through them. You're not reading the Word of God, you're not applying it, but allow God to work through problems. Because a lot of the things in life, many of the blessings that God has given you actually comes, first of all, disguised as a problem. Maybe God wants to build a closer relationship between you and your members of your family. And that's the blessing of that. Well, sometimes that'll come and it looks like there's a problem with that. But as you work through that problem, the blessing at the end is that you're going to be so much closer than you ever were in your whole life. So there's a blessing God will bring out of the problems. God will do that. As you go through life, it's like you're on a train track. Like one of the track is all these blessings and the other track is problems. They tend to go there. You've always got the blessings of God, but you're always going to have problems. And Jesus never has promised you won't have problems. You're still going to have problems over this time as we do this program together. Life is like that. That's the nature of life. But if you allow God to work through those problems, then you're going to be the person that God wants you to be. There's this another interesting scripture, Proverbs 3:6. It says, in everything you do, put God first, and He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. Now, quite often when we hear the word success, what do we think of? We tend to think of money, don't we? We think of money and material possessions and those kind of things. But that's not what God is promising here at all in Proverbs chapter 3. In everything you do, put God first. Now that's the important words, just highlight them. Put God first. But in everything you do, put God first, and He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. Well, it's not talking about monetary success. It's not talking about financial or material things. The Hebrew word actually there means with decisions. It'll actually help you to make wise decisions in your life. Every one of us needs the ability to make wise decisions in our lives. And that's the promise that we have in God. If we put God first in every part of our life, we truly do put God first, not someday, but today, we truly put God first, then He's going to give us a wisdom and help us with decisions. Because we face many decisions every day. And if we have God first, He will help us in making those decisions. Sometimes you have to make tough decisions. You want to make a right decision. You don't want to make a wrong one. You put God first, He will give you the wisdom. That's the promise. And so how do we put God first in our life? And that's part of that. If you have 30 days to live in your life, you want to get everything in order. People get their affairs in order. He's been told to go home and get his affairs in order. For some people, it means you had your insurance policy, check your super, check this, check that, check all of that. If we found that we have 30 days to live, I'd want to check my life. I want to check my heart, and I'd want to make sure that I really did have God first in my life. And there's four things listed there on your notes. They're listed for you, four things to put God first, to put first, to give to God. Give God the first day of every week. Don't neglect coming together. Don't neglect that. Give God the first day of every week. Fellowship. Come and assemble with the believers. Honor God. Give Him the first part of every day. Pray. Now, some people are night people, some people are morning people. I'm a night person, but it doesn't matter. I can still pray in the morning and still give that part today. Open your heart and pray every single day, not tomorrow, today. You pray every day, the first part of every day. Give Him the first portion of your income. Because the bottom line is, if God's not in control of your finances, He's not in control of you. If you haven't surrendered your finances, you haven't surrendered your life. Give Him the first portion. That's why we tithe. 10% unto God, we give Him the first portion of our income. Because if He's not first in that area, He's not first in any area, truly. and the first consideration of every decision. How often do we storm off and we do things and we haven't even asked God about it? God, did you really want me to take that job? Did you really want me to do this? Oh, it was a great opportunity. It was a good thing. Yeah, I'll go for it. But we didn't even give God any consideration. And then we come back and we pray, say, oh, Lord, this job's hell. Why did you give me this job? Well, you didn't actually ask, really. And so we give him the first consideration, pray about it. You don't have to pray, am I going to wear the blue socks or the black socks today? I'm talking about decisions that we need to make, and we pray. And so that whole area of how Jesus learned in his life, and the whole area of character and the humility of his life, is one of the other areas that we will be looking at over this time. And the final area that we'll be looking at is that Jesus left boldly. He left boldly. He had 30 days to live. 30 days left. How did he live his life? Well, he lived passionately. He was passionate about it, very focused, intentional. He loved completely. He learned humbly. He lived humbly. But he left boldly. And he left such an incredible reservation. I love this scripture in Luke 9:51. It says, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Now, he knew his time was up. He knew how he was going to die. He knew that he was going to be tortured and the humiliation and the death of that. But he didn't slink in there. He said Jesus went boldly, resolutely, without reservation, without hesitation. He knew he went forward to knowing exactly what was going to happen. And I'm sure if you had 1 month to live, you're not going to waste time and energy. You're not going to be sitting around thinking, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do for these 30 days. I'll probably think about it tomorrow. Oh, I'll think about it the next day. Oh, maybe the next day. You wouldn't be like that. You'd be, what am I going to do? You'd be very focused and very intentional, and you would be looking to leave a legacy of your time. You'd want to leave a legacy, more than just a stone with people wondering about that. You'd want to leave a legacy. You'd do whatever you could to make your life count in the time that you have. You'd want to leave a legacy, and certainly that's what Christ did. And he wants every one of us to leave a lasting legacy. One of the barriers to doing that is that people who spend their whole life running around trying to please everybody, trying to make this one happy, trying to make that happy. You're just running around everywhere trying to please one another. Well, you won't please everybody. You can't ever please everybody. You will never be able to successfully do that. And if you spend your whole life running around trying to please everyone, you're actually going to miss what the Lord wanted for you for your dash. If you're living your life for other people to approve of you, other people to say well done, other people to say thank you, other people to encourage you or acknowledge you or whatever else, you're going to miss the dash. You can't live. There's one person that we live our lives that we need to honour, and it's the audience of one. We want God to honour us. Ultimately, he's the one, when you say at the end of time, when all is said and done, you stand before him. Not before this one, not before that one, other people you're running around trying to please everyone all the time. He wants us to please him. And there's a scripture in Matthew 25:23. It says, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. So that he's the only one that we really want to please. He's the only one. And when you stand before God, he's not going to say to you, why weren't you more like Pastor John? Why weren't you more like this one over there? Why weren't you like Billy Graham? Why weren't you that? He's going to ask you a question. He's going to say, why weren't you the you that I made you to be? And if you are that, he's going to say, well done. Even though, you still make mistakes or whatever, you say, yeah, you made some mistakes along the way, but you were the person who I made you to be. And come in and share with that. He's not going to ask, compare you to anyone else. He's not going to ask to say, oh, why weren't you like, he's going to say, why weren't you the you I made you to be? And that's what this 30 days is about. It's helping us be focused so that we might be the people that God has made us to be, to focus us on that. Because ultimately, he's the one that we want to please him, isn't it? Ultimately, at the end of the day, when they finally whack on the, you've lived your dash and that final date is etched in the stone, and one day when you stand before your father, he's the only one you want the accolade and the praise for, because you've lived the dash, you've lived that the way that God wanted you to do. And that's what this 30 days is about. I want to show you this clip. This is a guy who actually finds out he really did have that 30 days. So let's just put this last clip on, Josh.
Told by my doctors that I had 6 weeks to live. So when I heard about the 1 month to live thing, you know, that it was so personal to me. But the thing about it is that was so amazing about this, that when the doctor told me that I had 6 to 10 weeks to live, I had the most amazing, calm peace that came over me. And that is so unlike me. I feel like that God gave me the strength and the grace to accept that, you know, as, you know, that's my life.
He had just received the notice that his cancer had returned. I thought, man, you know, this is the 30 days to live. The feelings that I had at first were of anxiousness and fear. When he was told that he only had the 6 to 10 weeks to live, he was so calm. He told me after the doctor went out that there was a peacefulness that just came over him. Our relationship has changed so much. It was good before this happened, but it's even better now.
My wife and I have experienced a very, very sweet relationship.
We focus on each other's needs. I think you have a tendency to listen to each other better.
We've had a good marriage, but it's never been had the sweetness that we have now.
I think it opens the eyes and the thoughts of what people really need to do with that 30 days. Because I guess you think you're invincible and you can live forever, but we never know when God's going to take us. And we need to treasure every bit.
You think back over your life, all the things that you've done, the opportunities that you took, the opportunities that you missed, that you let go. When you get to the situation like I'm in, you know, it's very easy to love God because you don't have any distractions. And during your life, you know, you have your life to live. So there's a lot of things that distract you and that you don't think about God nearly as much as what, you know, what I do. I would say think about the things, what God has done for you, you know, the good things, you know. When I pray, God, thank you for today. And if I get tomorrow, then thank God I have tomorrow. Because of all the things, you know, that has come about since then, that I feel that God has given me the strength, the grace, or whatever you want to call it, to see the goodness of God and see the love of God. And then I'll tell you what, I'm really grateful for what God has done for me, for what I have gotten from the church, from the support that I have gotten, from a small group that we have. I experience that love of God. And in a way that I've never experienced it before.
You find it very powerful, very moving, isn't it? That man will find out that it's time. Just see his heart, his attitude. And what we've been challenged over this 30 days is to live our lives like that. We're going to learn to live like this. And over 30 days, if you actually do read the book every day, a little chapter a day, a few pages a day, read the Word of God and you begin to apply it and you get along to home groups. So important to be a part of home group. Home groups, there's a DVD, very powerful DVD that you'll watch every week. And there's a chance to discuss it and absorb it and reflect on it. You'll miss out on part of it if you don't be there. Make sure you get along to home group. I encourage you to do that. Do whatever it takes to get along there and be a part of that. But I just encourage you because it will change your life. That guy's life changed. I think you're going to live forever. You don't even think about a whole lot of stuff. You suddenly bring your life into focus. You live differently. That's what this is about. It's living that dash the way that God wants us to live our lives. Let's stand. We're going to pray. And I just encourage you today, if you've come this morning, even as Tula, today was the day that Tula gave her heart to the Lord. If you've come today, and you might even know there's a God, but if you have not come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you've never actually invited Jesus into your life, I encourage you to do that today. Not someday. Satan will say, oh, hey, good thing, do it someday. No, do it today. Do it today. If you don't know Jesus Christ, we're going to, as we close the meeting, an opportunity for prayer. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you come today. In fact, you come now and make Jesus the Lord of your life, even as Tula has done this morning. the challenge for every one of us, my prayer is that no one's going to miss out on this, that we'll all grow and be what God wants us to be over this time. So, Father, as we stand here, Father, we may have many, many more days than 30 days. Father, we may live long and a lot longer, Lord, and that's my prayer, Lord, that we do. Father, we want to live that however long we have upon this earth, Lord. We want to live it focused and intentionally, Lord. We want to live passionately, Lord. We want to love completely, Lord. We want to learn humbly, Lord. Father, we want to live in such a way, Father. And then, Lord, when ultimately the time comes, we want to leave boldly, Lord, having left a legacy, Father, that will endure. And so, Father, we humbly submit ourselves before you. Father, I pray, Lord, that we won't make up excuses, Lord, why we cannot do this. Father, because if we had 30 days, every excuse would go out the door. And so, Father, let us be not ones who want to make excuses, but, Father, say, yes, Lord, I want to learn to live the life that I have, whether it's another 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, however long I've got. Lord, I want to live it, Lord, and be the person that you've made it to be. So, Father, I pray for everyone today, Lord, that we will determine in our heart, yes, Lord, we're going to learn to love like that. We're going to learn to live like that. Lord, we're going to learn to grow like that. Lord, that we'll be everything that you made us to be. So, Father, I commend the people, everyone that is here today. Father, my heart goes out to everyone who's not here. Father, I pray let the home group leaders today be diligent, Father, be loving and caring enough, Lord, to contact anyone that they realize is not here, Lord, and encourage them, Father, Lord, that I don't want them to miss out on this journey that we're all going on together. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to you. Lord, we thank you for your grace. And, Father, we just thank you that you've given us such an opportunity. Lord, let us take it and run, Father. Lord, let us take it and run. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.